And on today's Windy City Queercast, it is all about Prop 8. The queers have snapped. Well, that's what Steven Rader says. And Steven and I are in the midst of thousands and thousands of tens of thousands of queers and their allies at the rally, the protest, what became a march all down Chicago's downtown area from City Hall to Oak Street where the gays love to shop. Let me tell you, we took over this town and Steven Rader thinks we've snapped. It's a good thing.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 262. Is that right? Yes.
I guess.
I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And Steven, we are here in the thick of it.
In the thick of it is right.
We are in the corner.
Middle of the plaza.
We are not at the corner of gay and gay, which we normally are. We're in the corner of needs to be gayer, City Hall in Chicago, under the fabulous architecture. What is that, a Matisse, a Picasso?
I have no idea. That's not a Picasso, though.
It's a Matisse, maybe. I don't know.
Obviously, we're not gay enough. We should know our art.
Obviously, we're not gay enough. But we're down here at the corner of Adams and Dearborn. With right now, it looks like there's probably a couple of thousand, two or 3,000 GLBT people. There are, you know, every racial background I can see, young and old, lots of children. It's a chilly day. And these protests are happening in all 50 states.
I mean, major. At the same time.
At the same time today. So there'll be tons of coverage, which you've probably already seen, but we're actually here. We're here in the middle of it, and it is really something to see. Are you much of a protester? Do you come to protest?
Okay, I'm sorry, but I just saw a sign that said, "I had your Mormon dad. Can I marry him?" That's genius. Genius.
If you wear no makeup and don't cut your hair.
Genius.
And you have a few others to bring along with you.
I've heard, was it Brigham Young had 54 wives, I just want one or something like that.
Just brilliant.
Now,
do you normally come to protests? Are you a big protester?
Oh, I was thinking about this just a few minutes ago. I was at the March on Washington in 93.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of college. I was there.
That was right when I was coming out.
Powerful. And I was also at Stonewall 25.
Wow.
So that was both of those marches, especially the March on Washington in 93. I'd never seen that many of us in one place. We took over that city in 93.
Yeah.
And now it feels like we're more prevalent. But, you know, 93.
Yeah.
We didn't have... I didn't live in an area that was very gay.
Right.
I was living in the middle of East Tennessee. And to go into Washington and to take over a city, and everywhere we went, there were gay people. Everywhere.
Yeah. I remember watching it on C-SPAN, and it was the most gay thing I'd ever seen in my entire life.
My God. To be right there... We were in the Tennessee contingency, and we would say... Hey, y'all, come out now, you hear?
Hey, y'all, come out now, you hear? So it's been a while since you've been at something like this.
It's been quite a while.
Do you think that we've just been passive as a community, that we haven't really been angry?
Yes, I don't think people thought Prop 8 would pass. I think they thought Prop 8 would not pass, and then it did. You know, and then everyone got a little like scared or pissed off or, oh my God, what
is it? We didn't get mad in the election when George W. Bush was first elected. We didn't get mad when he was reelected. Why are we mad now? Is it because Is it because of Barack Obama and we seem like we should be past this and that this
perhaps that is
seems incongruous that
because
we
because I think this is the kind of focus you would have if Barack Obama had not won. Right. If the count had been, oh well, it's a little off, and oh gee, Florida, some people didn't punch their chads again, we wouldn't have taken it.
Right.
And because the rest of the country got what they wanted and we didn't, I think this is the only faction that's fighting, quite frankly. Do you think that, maybe?
I think so. I think, you know, he has the promise of something that is not coming to fruition for the GLBT community.
Yes.
And so we seem excluded once again. And,
yes.
You know, and I think it hurts even more that it's African-American and Hispanics in California who, you know.
What hurts even more that people in San Francisco didn't even get out to vote. I mean, there were so many of those people in San Francisco who didn't even go to vote. It's fascinating to me that...
I didn't know that statistic.
Oh, yeah. I forget what the statistic... It was like the third slowest voter turnout was in San Francisco. What's up, guys?
Do we think that's tampering? I mean, how could that be? How could San Franciscans not get out and vote?
I don't know.
With their cool, hunky, should-be gay mayor,
Gavin Newsom. Get out of bed, get off your knees, get in the voting booth.
Yeah.
You know, do something.
Get out of the bathhouses.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
But
well, you know...
Something's hip. Something's happened to us. Something has definitely happened.
Yeah.
We've clicked. Something's clicked.
Something's clicked. Something snapped.
Stonewall 2, Electric Boogaloo. Let's do it.
Hey, we're going to tell you what's going on in the news, because most of it is around Proposition 8
yes.
and some other things. And then Stephen Rader and I'll be back right here from...
From Chili Daily Plaza.
From Chili Daily Plaza in Chicago, the Windy City.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat? The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
Taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
On Saturday, November 15th, activists across the nation marched in protest of the passage of California's Proposition 8, which reversed the California Supreme Court's decision that legalized same-sex marriage. Many cities across the U.S., including Chicago, have organized rallies and marches. Last week, 16,000 New Yorkers gathered at their large rally.
Thomas Beatty, the transgendered man who made national headlines last year when he became pregnant, announced during an interview with Barbara Walters that he and his wife are expecting their second child. Beatty gave birth to a daughter, Susan, this summer. He told Walters that after giving birth, he continued to stay off hormones so that they could have a second child. He revealed that he is in his first trimester, and the couple is expecting their baby in June 2009.
While California couples mourn the recent passage of Proposition 8, gays and lesbians in Connecticut have something to rejoice. A Superior Court judge entered a final judgment on the state's marriage case Wednesday, November 12th, and same-sex weddings started taking place immediately. In early October, Connecticut's highest court ruled 4-3 to legalize same-sex marriage. After the final judgment last week, couples became eligible to pick up their marriage licenses and hit the altar.
German doctors are claiming that an American man who underwent a bone marrow transplant has possibly been cured of AIDS. The man's Berlin doctor said that the 42-year-old patient, who had AIDS for over a decade, had been possibly cured of the disease 20 months after receiving a bone marrow transplant. So far, the patient shows no signs of having AIDS. The doctor has been careful to warn, however, that this could be a fluke.
India might overturn its sodomy law next year. The report indicates that the Delhi High Court expects to rule on the law's constitutionality in early 2009. Those convicted under the current sodomy law can receive up to 10 years in prison. India's sodomy law isn't enforced very often.
A new reality series will focus on sexual reassignment surgeries. We TV's new series, Sex Change Hospital, follows the transgender patients of Dr. Marcy Bowers, a surgeon who has performed hundreds of male-to-female sexual reassignment surgeries over the years in her Colorado clinic. The series will follow patients and their life-changing operations. The series, which will air on Tuesday nights, will also focus on the stigmas trans individuals face.
Rosie O'Donnell has a new variety show on NBC. The show called Rosie Live premieres November 26th at 9 p.m. and gives the comedian a new opportunity to strut her talents, this time primetime, with monologues, production numbers, hilarious comedy sketches, and special guests.
Comic book guru Stan Lee, best known for his creation of Spider-Man, is teaming up with Showtime to produce a gay superhero TV series. The new drama is based off of Perry Moore's novel, Hero. Hero is a young adult book about a closeted gay high school kid, Tom, and his secret superpower of healing people. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
So Steve and Rader and I are down here in Federal Plaza. The wind is picking up a little bit. It's it's a really different
vibe.
A week and a half. Yeah, you were down in Grant Park. Tell me about how different it feels today.
Grant Park was the most amazing thing I think I'd ever been to. I was so afraid of it before I went there.
I know, you and I talked. You're like, I don't know if I want to go.
And I think because of that energy, if the decision had been different, the energy would have been the polar opposite. And that's what scared me. I've joked that I hadn't really heard Obama speak before. I was for him, but I wasn't really for him. You know, I was like, okay, yeah, he's a great candidate. But after hearing him speak, I totally drank the Kool-Aid, and I was like, okay, I get it. He's really amazing, and he will lead us out of the problems that we have. That's not an issue. The feeling was so uplifting, but it feels like the whole gay community, something snapped. Don't you feel it?
I do.
Something snapped, and everybody is right on the verge of anger. And I started joking with people about, you know, that I truly believe that that Stonewall happened because of Judy Garland's death. I kind of believe that had something to do with it.
Right.
So I keep joking that if Liza or Barbara Streisand or Bette Midler die, something's going to happen.
Dolly,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's kind
chairs
of...
chairs are going to go through glass.
It's kind of a joke, but there's such a tension that there needs to be one little thing that snaps and we'll all boom.
Yeah, I totally think, you know, it's interesting. And I'm down here and it feels kind of like gay pride when I see people I haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
And I'm bumping into people, you know, who come out for, you know, particular moments in our life. And I totally agree with you. I think it would take something very short. You know, this weekend there have been a lot of conversations, a lot of CNN coverage on, you know, with people talking about this on both sides of the issue.
The View, apparently Joy Behar talked about it last night.
Well, Joy Behar was Larry. Yeah, she was Larry King last night. And she had Dan Savage on. And
here we are!
Here we are! Chicago, making some noise. But, you know, this rally's going to be going on for hours. And I think it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And,
oh, I think so. It really is. There's something in us that just snapped. Something just broke, and we're ready for a fight.
Yeah.
I think we're ready for a big fight. I don't think people thought it would pass. And it passed, and now we're pissed.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that we hold California to a different standard than we hold Florida. I mean, I think all of us knew it wasn't going to pass in Florida. And we should say that, you know, the other thing that's now totally being eclipsed, that's the right word, is Connecticut. You know, gays are now lining up to marry. And so on one side of the U.S., we have this, you know, we have, you know, marriage. We have gay people lining up to marry. And on the whole, now across the U.S., you know, everybody's going, why can't we all have this? And it was interesting. Dan Savage said last night on CNN, you know, the majority has often been wrong.
Yeah.
The majority was for slavery. The majority was for 70% for blacks and whites to not get married.
Oh, yes.
You know, if we hadn't listened to judges that we hire to be more constitutional, to be... more insightful as to how we as a civilization need to move forward. That is why we elect them to uphold the Constitution.
I was watching Bill Moyers last week, and you know, here's Barack Obama standing in front of the court where the Dred Scott decision was made.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, we're talking about, I mean, slaves couldn't marry each other.
Right.
Or they had to say, till death or distance do us part.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about basic issues of civil rights. These are our rights, and I don't necessarily think I want to ever get married. It's not something I want for me, but the minute you tell me I can't have it,
right,
that's when I have to start fighting for it.
Yeah, and we're not being petulant. You know, we were arguing about this on the way down here on the L, some of us, about, you know, did the straits make this our cause? Because if you remember back to 10 years ago with Hawaii, you know, it was really, yes, it was some gay couples and gay attorneys who were fighting for gay marriage in Hawaii, but that gained a national spotlight of how the country was going to fall apart. And then we got put on all these ballot amendments and propositions, ballot initiatives in all these states, which is how George Bush Jr., George W., was elected, you know, in all these states based on tactics of fear. And I just can't have, nobody has been able to explain to me how my marriage or my wanting to get married impacts somebody who is already married. Like,
I'm sorry, but if the sanctity of marriage is destroyed by anything, it's destroyed by my parents and their divorce. I'm sorry. And I watch it left and right. I mean, hell, there's a bus. There are buses and there are things on CTA right now that talk about not having your marriage or the best times behind you. And they have, as a divorce lawyer,
right,
that is more of an affront to the sanctity of marriage than to people who love each other, who simply want to commit to each other and have the right to do that legally.
Well, I have to tell you, if you have not gone down and scrolled down on our blog, please read Chris Olbermann's address on this topic. It was fantastic. Keith Olbermann.
Amazing.
So check that out, and we're going to take a break and go to some commercials, and we'll be back down from Federal Plaza in Chicago, Illinois.
Hello, you interactive theatrical types. This is Dick O'Day inviting you to celebrate the holidays this year with two wacky shows for the price of one. Join me at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons at the Royal George Theater from November 16th through December 21st for a mini holiday-themed version of my Dick O'Day's Big Lovely Bingo theatrical game show. After bingo, stick around for Sunday School Cinema, the hilarious hit comedy in which Sister reviews movies from her nonsensical perspective and lets you know which ones are good, bad, and condemned. That's Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Royal George Theater at 1641 North Halsted from November 16th through December 21st. Phone 312-988-9000 or visit dickoday.com or nunsforfun.com. And that's a four with like the number four. Okay, you got it.
So I'm down here in Daly Plaza still. Stephen has gone off to another side, and I happened upon State Representative-elect Deb Mell, who happens to be a friend of mine, the first openly lesbian state rep. Right? What a great first action to be out here at this rally.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. This is exciting. You know, we had a kind of a large rally 4 years ago, and I was just telling a friend of mine that 4 years ago, the anti-gay marriage people were kind of significant. You know, it was almost like the same amount of people. This time, no way. There's like five over there. And then there's this huge rally. So this is exciting. Now, there's a momentum going on. We had a setback in, you know, in Florida and Arizona and Arkansas and California. But I think, you know, we're winning the war. You know, it's a generational thing. And it's happening, so it's exciting.
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, you were arrested, and that was really kind of the famous moment for you on the front pages because your father was a very well-known alderman, and he kind of stood alongside you. And talk about the difference of what you felt then when kind of this equal rights, equal marriage happened here in Chicago then as to what you're feeling now. As something snapped, Stephen and I have been talking about, something snapped on election night for the gay community. We feel like we kind of woke up, you know, and went, us too. What about us?
Right, exactly. I feel that because it's like the whole country voted for change, you know, and we're going in this new direction. You know, we're breaking like historical barriers with electing, you know, Barack Obama president. But it's like, wait a minute, you know, we want to be part of it too. You know, I think people are fed up. I'm fed up. Just Monday, I was called into that building, the federal building, for jury duty. You know, so the federal government can call me, you know, to go serve on a jury.
Right.
And to go, you know, and I pay my taxes, you know, and now I was elected to possibly, you know, pass bills into law.
Right.
But yeah, I can't, you know, I can't, like, have equal rights with everybody else, basic civil rights.
Yeah.
So I think people are, and you know what else? It's like, I saw this guy wearing this sign, "No More Mr. Nice Gay." Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's I heard Dan Savage. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, his cry right now has been like, we've been nice and passive and quiet and civil for too long.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe we need to change, you know, change our approach. And it sounds that, you know, we're just opening up a huge new chunk. They're opening up a big new chunk because of how many people are coming down here today. I mean, and the size, the magnitude of how many people are here. We saw 16,000 people in New York City this past week. These protests are happening in every state, in major cities today at this time. Do you feel that momentum is that we're catching that fever, or is that momentum being created here? Because it feels like all eyes have been on Chicago now for 2 weeks.
Right. You know what? I didn't even think about that. That's kind of cool to know that President-elect Obama is in this city right now.
Right.
And we're having this rally right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I hope this isn't kind of a flash in the pans kind of thing.
What do you think about him? Obviously, you've met him. What do you think about him? I don't think anybody thinks he's going to make some of the same mistakes, if we call them that Bill Clinton. You know, I don't think he's got such big fish to fry, as we would say where I'm from, you know, with the economy and with the wars, you know, going on, and things he needs to do and address immediately there. But what kind of champion do you think he's going to be for our rights?
Well, you know, it was my understanding that he's going to reverse Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Was that your understanding?
Yes.
Yeah. So, he better make good on that
promise.
And
he's against the Defense of Marriage Act. So.
Right. So, I mean, I hope to see movement on that. If not, I hope we hold him to his promises to us. Because, you know, here's another thing. It's like, we have a lot of, power monetarily.
Monetarily.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like...
We're like at $865 billion buying power.
Right.
You know, by 2010.
Right. And who we give our money to... To elected officials, we have a right, you know, to call them daily to bother them. So.
Well, you know, and that was Judy Shepard's whole thing with the Matthew Shepard Foundation when she did her Get Out the Vote about 12 months ago. The whole thing was based on this principle that, like, we have to hold them accountable.
Right.
They'll say what they need to say to get our votes, but then
right.
we need
get
to
our
hold
money.
Them accountable.
Right.
And that's really, it's after Election Day how we show up. So it's awesome that you're going to be... in their rooting for us. Now, the big rumor is that you want Rahm Emanuel's seat. Is this true? And what would that mean for
well,
you?
Well, I actually...
He's been obviously made chief of staff.
Right.
For Obama's new presidency, his cabinet.
Right. Well, how that happened is the day after the Obama rally, I got a call from a reporter that says... that I hear you might be interested in Rahm Emanuel's seat. And I was like, you know, it would be an honor to go to Washington, you know, and represent the 5th Congressional District. And I feel like I would be a great representative for them because the district includes, you know, like Boys Town and down by the lakefront, but also like snakes out to where I was just elected with 75% of the vote in a working class neighborhood where I grew up and where I've been knocking on doors for 18 months.
Right.
And so I feel like I really have a good grasp of the issues, and I know people are hurting out there and they need proper representation in Washington. And I also don't feel like today, especially, that you need like lawyers or lobbyists or career politicians to be able to understand what people are going through and bring them to Washington. But 2 days ago, I made the decision not to run for Congress.
So you're not going to run, so you're going to stay in your community.
I'm going to stay in my community. And another thing is, like, during this whole process, it's really, I mean, you get a lot of opinions, you know, and you get... You know, it was a struggle, and it was a long process. But I feel good about it, and I feel good to go to Springfield and represent the people of the 40th District there.
Well, and you're going to have a really rich and long career, I think, in politics. So it's exciting to have you at the forefront, and we need to get more women and more homosexuals, running for office.
Right.
So Deb Mel down here in Federal Plaza, something was said that they don't like, but we like her. We like that she's representing us in the state of Illinois. As all eyes are on Illinois, all eyes are on Chicago. So. She's got her 4-year-old T-shirt, Equal Marriage Now, Marriage Equals Rights. I think that was the first time I ever saw you. It was around this time of year at Reeling when you were getting people to come to an equal, equal equals marriage rally. So it's awesome to be here and standing on the corner with you and fighting the good
fight
today.
You're doing a great job too, Amy. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, what the hell was that about?
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion, and we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
Please, people, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life. Join the club.
For the week of November 17th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Haram Iran is a controversial and mind-blowing play by J. Paul Derrotany, based on the true story of two Arabic boys accused of homosexual sins. Haram Iran is playing through December 9th at the Athenaeum Theater, only $20. 25% of the profits are donated to charities preventing human rights abuses in Iran. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. This show contains nudity, violence, and strong political content.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents The Marriage of Figaro, now playing through January 4th at the Greenhouse Theater Center. Before Mozart's opera, there was the play by Beaumarchais. Take a risque look at what's underneath the music. Don't miss The Marriage of Figaro, and a new adaptation by Ranjit Bolt. For more information, visit RemyBumpo.org.
Meet Edith and Little Edie Beale, Jackie O's most scandalous relatives, in the Tony Award-winning smash hit musical, Grey Gardens, starring Hollis Resnick. This fall's most anticipated production follows the pair's fall from high society into the squalor of their infamous East Hampton home. Grey Gardens is playing through December 28th. For more, visit northlight.org.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice, hunky star Jeffrey Donovan, and Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
So I am down here still in Federal Plaza, and I'm working the floor. You know, I think Stephen Rader is cruising, and I'm actually doing reporting, but it's okay.
Stephen Rader is always cruising.
He's always cruising. He's going to Daniel Craig after this. That's going to heat him up. But I am down here with the mayor's advisor to the LGBT community. He's been on our show before, Bill Greaves. I like to call him my boyfriend.
Hey, Amy. Girlfriend, how are you?
I'm good.
This is great. Isn't this wonderful?
You know, it's so exciting. I was just talking to State Representative-elect Deb Mell and some others, and we're just talking about, and Steve and I were talking about, something snapped with the gay community. We
exactly.
woke up. We woke the fuck up about 2 weeks ago.
Well, I think we finally realized that our rights are really precarious, and they can be taken away, and we need to make sure that they aren't taken away. And look at all these young people. Look at all the children. Look at all the different kinds of people here.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I came down here with a 10-month-old and two lesbian parents, you know, and it's really an exciting, exciting energy down here. And you know, what I was just saying with State Representative-elect, you know, what seems interesting is that all eyes are kind of on Chicago. So what we do as a city is so important. I know these rallies are going on in almost all of the 50 states and all of the major cities today at this exact same time. But don't you think the attention of being in President-elect's backyard is formidable for us?
And you know what? I think Chicago is on the verge of fulfilling its destiny of being the great American city.
Yeah.
You know, we are showing the country that here we are in the Midwest. We're a diverse city. We're providing you with the leadership for the future. You know, and what we do here is reflects what's happening in the country. And it's going to affect what happens in the country. So here we are in this great rally and all these people, and I think it's coming.
Yeah, I really think it is. It seems like a really palpable energy. I'm sure that you show up for a lot of GLBT protests, rallies. You know, how would you describe the tenor or the feeling at this rally, you know, specifically?
I it's a mixture between anger and joy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really funny because I think they've realized they can do something and they're going to do something.
Yeah.
And they just need to keep it moving forward. But it's really, there's like this tension.
Yeah.
It's really great.
I think we've finally become selfish in a good sense.
Right.
Of like care of self.
Exactly.
You know, that we finally, if we're not going to stand up for ourselves, we cannot wait anymore for other people.
That's right.
To claim us or take us along for the ride. We have to claim our seat, you know?
And there's a fighting spirit here in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, we're not going to sit down and take this. We're going to fight back.
And do you think that we are winning the war? I mean, that's what Dad said.
Yes. In the long run, we're going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ain't over till we win.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that.
It's very exciting. And as I said, you know, it's all been kind of eclipsed by the fact that Connecticut gays are marrying today.
Right.
And in all the other cities, though, I think they understand the importance of the fact that we as well want this right.
And, exactly. And it is our right. It's a human right. We need to have our families protected. You know, we need all the same rights that married people have because we have families just like they have.
Well, and it's exciting, too, for you, I am sure, in the position you're in. It's exciting for me to be somebody who also works within this LGBT community
absolutely.
And watch this change.
Oh, I find it energizing and thrilling, and I really am deeply, deeply pleased to see the strength of the response today.
Now, how long have you been in this position?
8 years on December 18th.
I was about to say, because I am 10 years this
That's
fall, so we are
nice.
Celebrating it together.
Good to see you.
Bill Greaves, thanks so much for talking with me.
Good to talk to you, Amy.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Only my eyes are the same.
So, Stephen, it's really great to be with you here today.
Amazing.
There's a lot of young people. There have been university students and high school students.
And a lot of older people. There have been a lot of children. There's a lot of families. I've seen, you look around the crowd and you see people of all different ethnic races. You see all people ages. It's quite fascinating.
You know, it's interesting because this week, for the first time, I really felt a need to email people that I wouldn't normally email. Family members.
Yes.
You know, people that are on the fringe of my life to say, you know, this affects all of us. This affects me. I am a part of this community.
Yeah.
And if you think this issue isn't important, it is, because what gets sent out comes back to you, you
Amen.
Know? And
Amen.
And I've gotten a lot of responses from family members. And, you know, it's that's the kind of vocalization we need on it. That's the totally grassroots.
Yes.
How are you talking to your friends? How are you telling your family members that you were down there protesting? And so I encourage everybody to do that. I encourage you to find your voice around this. It's not that you have to become some huge activist. You just have to share your story and that this impacts you.
You have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, when you begin to just speak the truth and to, I think that's the problem with why gay people have not had such a, I don't know, I've always been out. I mean, I came out of the womb, you know, singing show tunes.
Steven Rager.
Right, you know, slap my ass through it again. You know, but I've never understood why, when people know gay people, then they get to know more and more and more gay people, it's very hard to hate people that you know their face and you know their situation. It's very hard to vote a different way. You know what I mean? I think when you personalize what your issue is, the issue almost goes away. To me, we just need to all come out of the closet and speak very openly and freely. I'm going home for Christmas, I'm going home for Thanksgiving, and I was just thinking this morning, I need to talk about this while I'm there.
Yeah.
I've never talked about gay and lesbian issues.
Yeah.
But I need to. It's important. And it's not going to, it may not go pretty,
yeah.
may not go well, but it's important that they know that this is who I am, and it's not just something you can lock away and not think
it's
about.
It's not just a news story, you know, and I think that's when the change will occur in massive efforts, is when, even if you're straight and you listen to our show, that you talk about why it's important to you, you know.
And
I think as Keith Olbermann said, you know, I have no connection to this. I don't have a gay child. I don't have a gay sibling. I don't have a, you know, really close gay friend. This is not, it's not a personal issue to me. You know,
no.
This issue to me is of the heart. It's a civil right. It's just about doing what's right. And so
fascinating to me that it can't, people don't understand that. I don't understand.
So give voice. If you're in a town, you listen to this, and you're not where there's a big rally with thousands and thousands of people, maybe it's not even that organized. That's the radical thing that you can do. You
yes.
know, start talking about this proposition and talking about your life, and let people know that it affects you and that it affects us all.
And be careful. Be careful out there, because it's about to pop.
It's about to snap. All right, Stephen, stay warm.
Yes.
We're going to continue now to cheer and rant.
Oh, yes. And then go see, guess what I'm doing after this?
You're
how
going
gay
to see
is
sexy
this?
James Bond.
After this, how gay is it to fight for your rights and then go see Daniel Craig in the James Bond movie? If they don't strip him naked, I'm going to be upset because I love that about Casino Royale. That's all I'm saying.
That's what's going to cause the snap. The snap. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
And folks, if the rally wasn't enough, all of a sudden the crowd started screaming, march, 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 march. And before you knew it, the cops were guiding us out onto the street, around circling the downtown area of Federal Plaza and City Hall, then all the way up Wacker Drive. And we ended our pass all the way up Michigan Avenue and back around. It was truly an amazing thing. And as I was marching and chanting with many, many friends and many people I didn't even know, you felt such camaraderie. I bumped into two very cute gay men holding their marriage certificate from October of this year from California. And I'm standing, we're marching, we're actually at the very tail end, so we're going to keep moving because we got cops behind us. Give me your names if you don't
mind. Mark Joslin,
Chris Constantelis.
And you all are carrying your marriage certificate.
Yeah, we got married on October 10th in Marin County, California.
So tell me what that day meant to you, and what does this march mean to you?
Well, it was amazing to actually have the support of the state of California, and amazing the people in the county building there, how supportive they were, and straight people waiting to get married as well, how everybody together were so supportive of that, of our marriage. And that was just as exciting as having our, you know, friends there to help us support this.
Do you think that it was it a conscious decision for you to get the marriage happen before November 4th?
Yeah, we're actually having our marriage with friends and family in July, but we wanted to get there before the worst happened, and apparently that happened.
How is it the energy felt to you today from the rally, and now we're marching? We have literally been marching blocks around the plaza. Now it looks like we're heading to Michigan Avenue because that's where the gays would love to be. Maybe we'll head to Oak Street.
They're just trying to defuse us so that we'll, you know, get distracted by the shops, and then it'll fall apart.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the energy been like for you all today?
It's incredible. I mean, it was a smaller rally, and I think since we've just started marching, I think it's expanded by 3-4 times.
Well, we're going to keep on walking and see where we go. Thanks, guys, for telling
your
story.
Thank you.
So what a Saturday. What a day in Chicago. Not a drop of rain. Not a drop of snow. It was clear skies. The wind was crisp and the air was cool, but man, the passions were high and hot and fiery. And it was a really great day. I hope that if you had a similar protester rally in your hometown, you were able to be a part of it. And if not, you should think of going out to the next one, because I guarantee you there will be a next one. Something has shifted, as Stephen Rader said. Something has changed in our community, and I can't wait to cover it. It's a very exciting time for the GLBT community around the world, but especially in the U.S. It's a very exciting time indeed. And as State Representative-elect Deb Mel said, we are about to win this battle. We are going to. We've lost the fight, but we're going to win this battle. And you felt that. You felt that today in the city of Chicago.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.